Welcome to Shared Ground, where we meet to explore the lands and forests of Eastern Canada, Mi'kma'ki, and our relationships to the rest of nature. We talk about ecology, conservation, forestry, and many interconnected issues. One of the main purposes of this podcast is to hear opinions and ideas from many different people. Each perspective will hopefully lead to a better understanding of a bigger picture. I am Amanda Bostland, and I am in search of ideas, practices, and attitudes that offer mutual benefit for humans and all species for whom these lands are home.
It's quite known that we do have like a beehive here at CPA, and I think a lot of people are just curious in general, just like, oh, we have a beehive at our school, like, yeah. Oh, that's cool, like, I want to know, like, what are the bees doing, how are they hanging out today?
That's Topsy Olatunji, a student member of Better with Bees, which is a high school student-run club that aims to educate and cultivate environmental awareness on local bee populations and pollinators in the ecosystem. Better with Bees is located at Charles P. Allen High School, or CPA for short, in Bedford, within the Sibeganegadi district of Mi'kma'ki. They have a hive on their roof of their school and are in the process of establishing a Wabanaki pollinator meadow and a Mi'kmaq medicinal garden. I was really excited to meet some of the people involved during Helping Nature Heal's 18th CD Saturday event in Bridgewater this February. Members from the Better with Bees Club were at CD Saturday with a booth, providing information about their initiative and offering tiny jars of honey from their very own school hive to raise donations. Also, three of the students and their teacher gave a presentation to the CD Saturday crowd as part of the lineup of speakers that day. Afterwards, I was grateful to have a chance to speak with some of them about their very inspiring club. I met with them one at a time outside of the Desbrisay Museum where CD Saturday took place, and you will also hear the sounds of a sunny afternoon in the beautiful grounds of the museum, birds, children playing, dogs barking, snow crunching underfoot, and snow dripping from the trees. The Desbrisay Museum, the Shared Ground Studio, and Charles P. Allen High School are all located within Mi'kma'ki, which is the unceded and ancestral territory of the Mi'kmaq people. This is kind of exciting. Right now it's CD Saturday in Bridgewater, so in the Gaspikwik district of Mi'kma'ki, and I ran into these awesome young folks and their teacher who's doing this project called Better with Bees. And I'm going to pass it over right now to one of the students who's going to tell you a bit about it, and maybe if you could just start by saying your name.
Yeah, so I am Topsy Olatunji, and I am a student at Charles P. Allen High School. I am also a member of the media team in our Better with Bees initiative. So Better with Bees is a school-led club, and what we aim to do is we have a beehive at our school, and we have our very own beekeeper who actually helps with that, but Better with Bees Club, we are around, I think, 30 students, and we take care of the bees, and we have several teams that we collaborate and work together to make sure that they are thriving and that they are contributing positively to our ecosystem.
And how did the initiative come about? Who wanted to start it and why?
First, a company, Alveoli, reached out to us, Charles P. Allen High School, and we said, yeah, sure, we would love to accompany the bees, and we would love to be like a habitat for the bees. So our the beehive is located at our school, and this happened in 2022. So after them reaching out to us, we just started making teams and made our club, Better with Bees, and we've been working very hard since then.
Uh-huh. Wow. It's neat. You must be also learning a lot about collaborating. Like, I found it fascinating that you have these separate teams so that you're working together, but you have your different areas roles, I guess, within that. So you're on the media team. So so what's involved in that?
So the media team, we do everything in media, basically.
Okay.
So we have a YouTube channel. We collaborate with documentary team because documentary team basically documents everything we do. So they make lots of videos or they give us clips. And as media team, we also make the videos.
One of the things that struck me when I was watching your presentation is how
you must really be encouraging all sorts of different people with different interests and skills to get involved. Like, I think it's really neat that there's a, it's about biodiversity and the bees and helping bring more awareness, I guess, to Mi'kmaq culture with the medicinal garden also. But people, whether they have, more media related interests or marketing or, oh no, maybe not marketing. I don't know, but various marketing
as well.
Also.
Yeah,
okay.
As well, yeah.
So you don't have to be actually wanting to do the gardening itself at all, do you, to be involved in the project?
So when a lot of people, a misconception, I would say, is when a lot of people who are in our school and want to get involved with Better With Bees, they kind of think of bees as like, oh, I'll be working with the bees like firsthand and I could get stung, or they might have like issues that they're thinking of and maybe reluctant to try being a member of Better With Bees. But we're very like open-minded, and as much as we want people to be working with the bees, we understand that not everyone wants to work with the bees and everyone has different interests or things that they want to do, and we really want to give people the choice. And that's why we have different teams, just because people have different areas of expertise, and we are very flexible as well. Like, even if you're affiliated with one team, you could always like try something new. So there is a presentation team, but I'm here presenting even though I'm a member of a media team. So we are very flexible, and like, you're not like confined to a specific area. It's just something like you're going to end up doing most of the time. But yeah, you have pretty much the choice, and we like these teams. We have our gardening team, our fundraising team, our illustration, presentation, documentary team, and recently we added a subcommittee, which is our website team. So if you search our name up on Google, just maybe like CPA is Better With Bees, you can actually get a hold of our website that we created.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else do you want to tell me about your project?
So we really want to highlight our main focus of the year. So with our Indigenous communities who are obviously native to this land, Nova Scotia, we've really tried to incorporate a lot of their practices into what, into, and like letting their practices align with our cause, which is like making sure there's a more sustainable environment and a better environment for the bees. So particularly what we've been doing is we've been kind of wanting to make a medicinal garden. So we have four main species that we're going to incorporate in that medicinal garden, which is tobacco, cedar, sweetgrass, and sage. And these four medicinal plants are very sacred to the Mi'kmaq people. And it's just, we don't want to be culturally ignorant, and we want to make sure that the people who know more about the land, more about Turtle Island, can be a part of this whole experience, which is why we are making sure that Indigenous and Mi'kmaq identifying students in our school can really be a part of this initiative.
And has there been, is there a diversity of people on your teams?
Yeah, there is a diversity of people on our teams. A notable mention would be Sophie Admiral. So she is a grade 12 student at CPA, and she's been doing a lot of things with like creating art pieces and making CPA a more like Indigenous inclusive space. So she actually designed our garden design that we have. So we haven't been able to complete the garden, but we do have a design that Sophie made. And we're kind of using that to help us kind of know what it should look like at the end. We're using it as an inspiration as we make our garden. She drew a lot of inspiration from the eight-pointed star, which is very sacred to Mi'kmaq cultures. And the eight-pointed star is basically like symbolizing harmony and balance. It's also known as the Mi'kmaq Eightfold Petal Star, and it's used in lots of ceremonies and artwork and spiritual practices, which Sophie has taught everyone about, and we've become more knowledgeable about it, which is what we wanted to really do, just to know more about it before we started anything, know from Mi'kmaq people themselves. That's what we like really wanted to make sure of, that we weren't just doing things in the name of the Indigenous people of this land without actually incorporating them into our cause. So the eight-pointed star signifies various aspects of life, from elements to directions. And we've also she's also drawn inspiration from the Bedford petroglyphs. They are like rock carvings and they serve as cultural artifacts. So we wanted to incorporate both the eight-pointed star and the petroglyphs into our garden, which is what Sophie's been doing.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. Well, maybe the last thing I'll ask you is why you were interested in being involved in this at your school.
Yeah, so I think for me, a lot of people always, Mr. Hall, who's our teacher advisor, they always... it's quite known that we do have like a beehive here at CPA, and everyone, if you're walking in the hallways, they see Mr. Hall, they're always like, how are the bees doing? How's everything going with the bees? And I think a lot of people are just curious in general, with just like, oh, we have a beehive at our school, like, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Like, I want to know, like, what are the bees doing? How are they hanging out today? And I think that curiosity is kind of what brought me into Better with Bees, just because, like, I heard a lot of things about it, and I just thought it would be a nice club to do on Fridays after school, and just to kind of be more... be like a better help and help in like the sense of climate change, because also taking care of bees helps in that sense, and also just being a better community member and doing stuff that I can in my school as a high school student to help with that cause. Yeah, so I think not only for me but for a lot of people, we're just very curious in general, and I think that's where the misconceptions are, like, oh, that you're just gonna have to take care of bees all day. But we're trying to kind of let people know and spread that narrative that, oh, we do have these teams and there's so much that you can do and so much you can contribute to helping fight climate change and being more part of our cause. So yeah, that's why I personally wanted to be a part of this.
Yeah, that sounds really amazing. I'm really glad you're doing this.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll stop it there so you can go warm up.
I find Topsy's comments about the importance of inviting folks with different interests to become involved worth repeating. I hope this will encourage all of us to think about what we each have to contribute to causes or ideas we care about, to value and bring one's interests and skills, whatever they may be. And likewise, how can we be welcoming and appreciative regarding what others have to offer? Next, you'll hear my conversation with Charles P. Allen High School teacher, Mr. Hall. But just ahead of that, I'd like to first talk about something he shared with me afterwards, which is related to the collaborative, inclusive efforts of the Better with Bees Club. Mi'kmaq Hall spoke highly of CPA's Mi'kmaq Indigenous student support worker, Kevin Broderick. Kevin worked with Sophie Amaral, who you just heard is a grade 12 student working on the design of the Mi'kmaq Medicine Garden that will be developed and planted in the spring. Kevin was instrumental in making connections with the Confederacy of the Mainland Mi'kmaq, who have provided tobacco seed for the medicine garden. These supports and connections have been extremely important to the success of Better with Bees. Let's now head back outside to hear directly from Mr. Hall.
My name is Christopher Hall, and I work at Charles P. Allen High School as a teacher. I'm the advisor for the CPA's Better with Bees team. I call it a team rather than a club because they have to work together in order to be able to bring this project to fruition, I guess. And so we're building an urban sustainability meadow focused on the Wabanaki forest. So we're using Wabanaki plants. And that Wabanaki pollinator meadow is going to surround a Mi'kmaq medicine garden where we'll have the sacred medicines of tobacco, sage, sweetgrass, and cedar.
You must be really proud of your students.
Yeah, I am, because the ones that came today, they had not done a presentation before. So for them, it was a new experience. And being able to speak in front of the public is, in my mind, is one of the best things that I think schools can do for students. We had a different group that actually went to a conference in Quebec City.
Oh, really?
And they presented at a professional conference, at the RE3 conference. And we did that in June of 2023. And again, we're speaking in front of professionals. And the students, again, they got such good feedback that we were able to be scheduled for another conference this coming June. So it's very rewarding, mm-hmm, that they're able to kind of connect with professionals in an area that really they don't have any expertise in, but they have a passion for. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, I would think that that's, I think about this a lot, actually, how important the learning how to public, not being afraid of people and being able to public speak, I feel like it's actually been a barrier in my own life. Mm. And if people can learn that in high school, then it really means that any issue or cause or interest you have, you can help promote it or forward it in a way that you never could if you were afraid to talk in public.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that we do in school, in my class anyways. We do it on a small scale, but you know, at least they get exposure, and mm-hmm. and some students take it to another level and they actually compete in public speaking and and debate and whatnot.
So I'm curious, I guess, how the students became interested and mm-hmm. also about how they work together. Because I feel like groups collaborating well together is another one of those really important skills that we don't naturally know how to do. So mm-hmm. it's interesting. One of your students talked about the different teams and how everybody can get involved no matter mm-hmm. their interests. And so how is it, I guess, so sorry, there's too many questions in a row here. How is it facilitated, or how have you found that a good group working culture has been created through mm-hmm. this project?
So the beginnings, the origins of the program started in June of 2022. So we did get a beehive on the campus, and we put it on our green roof. And in my mind, I was like, okay, what are these bees going to feed? Because when you look around the campus, it looked like lawn. It looked like grass. Luckily, there's a lot of clover, so I'm not too concerned about the colonizer bees, or the settler bees, as they're called. So our focus then turned towards, well, what about the native species? What do they have? Because clover, dandelion, you know, it works, but it's not always the best for a bumblebee or for a mason bee. And so we started to kind of focus on, let's look at the native species. And so that's the native species was the kind of the trigger that pulled those students in, because it was beyond, okay, let's just look after a beehive and, hey, we're going to do something. And then we tie that to the UN Development Goals. And then we kind of look through those goals and we developed, okay, these are our goals that we want to work on. And so it gives the students, in my mind, it gives the students a way to deal with or to kind of address climate change at a local level, and they can feel like they're doing something. Mm-hmm. As far as the development of how the program developed, I've always found that with clubs, you usually have like a core group that end up leading, and then you have everyone else. And so my goal is to give as many students the leadership potential or possibility that they can step up and become a leader. And so by dividing it up into teams, each team is actually becomes a leadership team. So not everybody's going to be a leader in that team, but they all have the potential to take it on if they want. So you don't have this like three or four students that kind of run the team or the club, and then everybody else just kind of follows along. This becomes, a team that taps into their skill set, why they want to be a part of Better with Bees, and then we can utilize their skill set. That's really why the teams developed, was to give students a potential leadership that usually they don't get inside of a club if they just join.
I thought this would be a good spot to cut in, as another student, Kian Anderson, who also contributed to the excellent Better with Bees presentation at CD Saturday, didn't want to be interviewed at the time, but later sent me something to read for this podcast. Before I read what they'd like me to share with you, I'll just elaborate first, briefly, on the specific United Nations Sustainable Development Goals that the club has identified. SDG 11 is make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. SDG 13, take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. And SDG 15, protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forests, combat desertification, and halt and reverse land degradation and halt biodiversity loss. I'll now read what Kian sent me. My part in the presentation spoke on our goals regarding the UN sustainability goals. Better with Bees' main focus is on SDG 11, SDG 13, and SDG 15. We want to create more green spaces for bees in urban environments to allow for more biodiversity in these areas to help fight climate change. Due to the land loss, it can be pretty hard to allow for more biodiversity in Canada, so we're really looking to help pollination and biodiversity through beekeeping. On our choice for the meadow, I spoke about the problems a lawn would cause in attaining our goals. To start, there's little to no biodiversity in lawn grass, which would result in a loss of soil. Then there's the question of resources, like fertilizers and mowing. Mowing happens to be the biggest problem since gas mowers are the most accessible but also the most harmful. In one season, they emit about 106 pounds of greenhouse gases, which would only stray us further from our goals to improve the health of our environment and community. So that was from Kian Anderson. I was glad to have those words to share with you as I found the topics they spoke about to be an important part of the Better with Bees presentation. Now we'll head back outside for more from Mr. Hall.
What subjects do you teach?
Right now I teach history and psychology.
And did you have any background in beekeeping or gardening yourself?
Only personally. I'm opposed to cutting grass.
Yeah.
I did enough of that as a teenager. And so when we moved into our place of residence, I stopped cutting the lawn. Bylaw came by and said that I had to cut the lawn. So the next day I basically went out and I dug the lawn up. Oh. So there's no lawn. How can I cut it?
Yeah.
So then I started building gardens in my front yard. And since then, bylaw hasn't come back because nobody's complained. But ultimately, that was kind of my kind of introduction to at least gardening. And then as I started developing my own front yard, I started to question myself, well, why am I planting nursery plants than not planting native plants? And so that kind of challenged me in my own capacity. And so that's where I kind of brought that to the school.
Okay. Mm. Well, that's interesting to hear. Mm. That was quite a statistic that someone brought up today during your presentation about, did I hear that right? That something like 1 hour of using a regular lawnmower is like driving 11 cars for that same amount of time.
Yeah. And I think when you look at the size of the engine and you take all the factors, like it would be more of a comparison on engine size. So it's not just like it's kind of a almost like a per capita comparison. So it's not necessarily like one engine's going to be the same as 11 cars, but if we had an engine the same size, it would be equivalent.
Okay.
So ultimately, you know, we're just trying to reduce the amount of lawn mowing that happens and, you know, encourage other ways to see what can we do with our green spaces. We call them green spaces, but they're basically lawn spaces.
Yeah.
And how can we kind of treat it a little bit differently?
Yeah. And I know you mentioned earlier when you were presenting that you didn't want to make people feel guilty about if they have lawns and they mow their lawns with gas powered lawnmowers. But I do think it's something that's good for us all to think about. And especially when it's something that has so many multiple benefits too, right? With creating habitat for other creatures. And
exactly.
Yeah.
And being able to, like, as it's in a public school, the school has a community center right next to it. So it's going to be very visible. So once this really does start to get up and running and people drive by and they see this kind of swath of pink or swath of yellow, and they're like, wow, that really looks nice. You know, and then they might come up and read the signs and say, oh, these are all native species that grow in this area. You know, could it lead to somebody doing something a little differently? Well, hopefully, right? That's really the end goal.
Yeah. And have other schools expressed interest in something related to what you're doing since you've started?
So right now we haven't reached out to other schools. We're going to get it. We'll get it started.
Okay.
On a large scale so that we can then kind of take that model and say, okay, how can you make this work for you? And so that's really the next step. So once we have the meadow kind of established this year, we will reach out to other schools in order to kind of expand the idea. Because ultimately, every school in Nova Scotia can do this.
Yeah.
Right? And every school can make a difference to kind of the environment, the climate change that, you know, a lot of students feel very depressed about. The mental health is probably very low because they don't see a future.
Yeah.
But at least they could be doing something. And if they did something, then it can really make change happen a lot faster than if they're just passively sitting back and watching.
Yeah, I can't help but think and hope that kids involved in projects like this, not only do they feel like they're doing something through this project, for instance, but hopefully it gives them the confidence or creativity to notice other things that they could do elsewhere and feel like they're active participants in the world instead of just having to deal with horrible problems that they have no influence over completely.
Yes.
Yeah, that must be a challenge as a teacher these days
too. It can be, but it's, you know, as a staff member, if we can see something that can kind of tap into that passion of, you know, youth, because youth are passionate, mm-hmm. whatever they're going to do, they're going to do it passionately. Then we can bring that kind of passion out and kind of channel it. And like you say, then it kind of opens up that creative mind for them to say, where else can I do this? Mm. Right. My goal would be that a student that leaves this team goes to a post-secondary institution and then starts it there.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because then they could turn it into a more of a science kind of study of, you know, the native species in the area, and then kind of really push the kind of research component of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I did notice that you and Teresa Quilty from Nayadak Food Forest mm-hmm. were chatting earlier, and I imagine you two might provide some inspiration, at least to each other, information
sure.
that could be useful.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good to connect with her. I was very excited when Rosemary mentioned that, Blue Nose Academy is doing this and that you might be able to chat. So, you know, we chatted for a good 20, 30 minutes, I think.
Oh, good.
Just in the room there. And so we have plans to kind of possibly bring our students down to their school and talk to students at Blue Nose. Because it would be very interesting that for them to see that a high school student is doing something similar to what they're doing at the elementary.
That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to know that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure folks are aware of what we were talking about there. There's another amazing school-based project happening at the Blue Nose Academy, which is a P-9 elementary school in Lunenburg, where they are creating a food forest and a Wabanaki forest. Teresa Quilty of the Nayadak Food Forest was also presenting at CD Saturday, and she and Christopher Hall of Better With Bees were able to connect. Rosemary was also mentioned just then. She is the owner of Helping Nature Heal, which is an ecological landscaping company that brings CD Saturday to Bridgewater each year. I guess I'll mention here, too, that both Helping Nature Heal and the Nayadak Food Forest were featured in past Shared Ground episodes, number 4 and number 19. For now, we'll head back to the rest of my chat with Mr. Hall, and then you'll meet with the other student that I was glad to be able to speak with that day.
You mentioned that you're not buying or you haven't bought any soil mm-hmm. for your meadow project. And can you say a little bit about why and how you're managing to create a livable situation for your meadow?
Sure. There was a very thin layer of soil, but we do have 13 years of kind of plants that have decomposed and have built up a small layer of humus. So what we're going to do is when we make a path in our meadow, we're going to take all of that material and it's going to become part of a garden. Mm. And then kind of complement that. We're developing our own compost using coffee grounds from a local cafe. It's Cortado's Tasting Room. So Cortado's, the owner of Cortado's, co-owner of Cortado's, was a CPA graduate. And I actually taught the students. And so I just happened to say one day, what do you do with your coffee grounds? And they told me, I said, well, what if I took them away? And he said, oh, sure. Mm-hmm. And so from that, I did that at my own house. So I've got 5 composters at home that are full of coffee grounds that I've been kind of doing for the last 2.5-3 years. And now I've got a composter at the school I actually do it. I don't get the kids to do it because it's an 8-minute walk. So an 8-minute walk with 30 or 40 pounds of used coffee grounds would be a little bit much. Mm. So I drive it back and forth.
Right.
And so by using the material that's already there and complementing it with the compost, I think that we won't need to buy any soil. So we're not growing trees. We can't grow trees. We could, but they would not do well. Mm. So all the material only needs a shallow root system. Mm. And so therefore, it's going to be easier for us, unlike Blue Nose Academy, where they're actually growing fruit trees. So they're going to have to get more material. Mm-hmm. And they talked about the lasagna layering of the wood chips and the seaweed. Now, the seaweed is very interesting. I'd like to get a hold of this. I know where I can get some. So that's probably going to come out too.
Such a good resource.
Yeah, yeah. So that's how we are going to kind of avoid buying soil. And there's a company that is female landscaping. And they have the mindset of very similar to what we're doing, you know, kind of keeping the native kind of focus. And we've already made a plan that their leaf litter and twigs and whatnot are now going to be dumped at the school instead of being trucked someplace else. So it's going to make it a lot easier for them because now they've got a space that they can just bring the material and then we're going to use it from there. So it's going to really complement our compost. That's really the goal of that.
Okay. Yeah, I really love how you're finding so many valuable community connections too, and win-win situations.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime someone else's waste can become a resource is like the best thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And not buying soil, because who knows what kind of harm might be caused if you're buying soil from somewhere else.
Sure.
Like I happen to live somewhere where the top acre, the top soil was scraped off and sold. Oh. And now it's very hard to get anything to grow there. And that's a big land restoration project. So I'm always so suspicious of soil that's for sale.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to share?
I think that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thanks for hosting us. I know they're excited. Now I'm going to be interviewed.
For your interest, and especially for those based in the Bedford area, the landscape company Chris Hall was just referring to is called the She Shed. Next up from Better with Bees is grade 12 student Khaled Al-Sakaf.
My name is Khaled Al-Sakaf. I'm the data management analysis slash bit of everything, actually, fundraising. I basically just more of a freelancer guy in this project. Help wherever needs help, you know, I'm happy to help anywhere. Better with Bees is a meta project that's specialized in growing a economically and ecologically sustainable project. So using native species and our school, it was built on stone aggregate. So, and with stone aggregates, it's really hard to grow trees. And we don't have much land really, but with the land that we have currently, we've grown using native species and plants and bee bombs. We've made a sustainable environment. A little bit cleaner for the air, you know, just a little bit. Okay. But we make our own honey using beehive extractions. The school is in charge of the beehive and spending whatever. We don't need to worry about that since the school is taking care of it. So I think that's really great that the school has some sort of, contribution towards this, because this would not be possible without the nature of the school or the office. But it all started with a bee, and we wanted to kind of, better with bees, we wanted to be kind of a local kind of thing where other schools would have it, not just Charles P. Allen.
Ah, okay.
So, and Mr. Hall is retiring after 2 years, so he's willing to hand the reign to someone else and continue this project, like, long-term, as a long-term type project, yeah.
Oh, and have you been involved since the beginning?
No, but I've heard of it since the beginning. I've just started this last year, 2023, but I think the growth between last year, like last year and last year is tremendous. Like, I think we've gotten double the people that usually come to the meetings and stuff. So that's really great too. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I'm really, really like proud to be a part of this project, just so you know that there's faith in the younger generation, and you know, I care about the planet. So,
do you feel like starting with something like this can really have ripple out effects? Like it will just have bigger effects than you could have imagined by what you started doing?
Yes, we did not expect to have, like, if you were to ask me the question in 2021. And I was be able to see in the future of us selling honey and stuff, that would be, you know, like, I would not think that we would sell honey. That's a very big improvement. Yeah. And the amount of members we have, I think about 80 people in the Google Classroom. So Better with Bees is recognizable in the school. And in terms of growth, we have multiple objectives, right? Our main objective is for our community to stay connected somehow. And, you know, through multiple teams, people can use their skill, whether it be media, fundraising, or anything, any skill that they have, and somehow be contributed to the team. That's why we're very flexible with this site. So we want the younger generation to you know, be involved somehow.
Well, that's one of the things that really struck me from your presentation, just how collaborative it seems, and you seem to have a role and a space for everyone to contribute.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Anything else you want to share?
Well, I'm really glad of the outcome today. We got a generous amount of donations today, about 150, 170. And for the first time, this is the first time we've sold honey. So
okay.
I'm proud. As a Charles P. Allen student and someone that doesn't come from, you know, I'm not from here. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud to see, because in my country, eco-sustainability is not really, big there. They don't usually put their eyes into these stuff. Mm-hmm. So as someone from coming from a background where that doesn't happen and finally getting the touch of what's happening in the world, finally realizing that eco-sustainability is an issue, like, and me being a part of that, I just, you know, I'm happy. So
That's great to hear.
Thank you so much.
I think this is going to be inspiring to other people.
Thank you so much.
We'll be joined now by Topsy one more time, so you can hear some of the ways that you can learn more about this wonderful project.
We have a YouTube channel where we put a lot of videos out of like things we're doing. We recently worked on our test meadow, so we have been putting videos out, just showing people if they wanted to take a look at things we're doing. We also have an Instagram account where we have a lot of posts, like if there's anything we're doing in school. I know Better With Bees, we're recently doing like a thrift kind of store thing, or like a yard sale thing, where we want to use to raise money to get more equipment. So if there's anything we want to let people know, we have our YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram accounts to let people know about those stuff.
Okay, that's great. So listeners, if they want to learn more, there's mm-hmm. lots of ways.
Yeah.
Hopefully sometime in the future, I will visit Charles P. Allen School and see their Wabanaki Meadow and the Mi'kmaq Medicinal Garden that the Better With Bees teams have been working towards. And I am interested to learn also what kind of relationship develops between the Charles P. Allen School and the Blue Nose Academy in Lunenburg, and about other schools that may be undertaking similar initiatives to improve their grounds and their students' involvement in positive change and collaboration with their natural surroundings. To support this podcast and my aim to continue to share these types of stories of shared ground here in Mi'kma'ki, please consider making a donation. You can find a link from both the Shared Ground Facebook page and at www.sharedground.ca. To end this episode, I thought it would be fun to include an audio recording of bees and crickets from last summer, which is repeated and slowed down over and over. So be prepared for 2 minutes of surreal insect sound following the usual ending. Thank you for listening to Shared Ground. Until next time, fellow humans. Thank you.
Thank you.